The Fargo police chief says the city needs tougher laws, and he's going to do something about it. A local bank says the residents of Fargo need a helping hand to fix up their old houses. The West Fargo fire chief says the city needs another fire hall and a few more firefighters. Plus, Kevin Cramer says he needs to get back to D.C., and Donald Trump says the country needs to hear a few things tomorrow night in his address to Congress, while Democrats in D.C. say they need to be other places. Whole lot of people needing a whole lot of things. That's why we're here. Good afternoon, friend. This is Steve Hallstrom here with you for the Steve Hallstrom Show on the flag here on this beautiful Monday afternoon. Holy smokes, not many days when I would rather be outside doing whatever you can do outside rather than hanging out with you here today. I'm tempted on this one, though. It is absolutely gorgeous about there. 53 degrees outside today with light winds, a lot of sunshine. And hopefully if you're listening today, you're listening on your way to get outside or maybe outside with the earbuds on or something like that, because it is absolutely fantastic. And it's these days that feel like it's about 70 when it's 50 because of how cold it's been at the end of a long winter. Got a lot of ground to cover here on the show today. As I mentioned to you in the opening of the program, there are a whole lot of stories to be told today. Many an issue to talk about. Phone lines are going to be available. So is the email box, the text line as well. We are guest free today on the show, except for our good friend Scott Hannon, who will stop by at 5 o'clock today for our weekly chat with Scotty. We'll get his thoughts on some of the stories that are making headlines here on this Monday afternoon. A lot of conversation. I want to get my Ukraine Trump comment out of the way and sort of be done with it today. I feel like I said pretty much everything I needed to say on Friday. Have listened to a lot of point and counterpoint on this over the weekend, and here's where I'm going to land on this. I've said I didn't like the way it was handled by Trump and Vance on Friday, but that's neither here nor there. That's style issues, and we're all going to see that differently. What I like and what I think is good style or good diplomacy, good decorum, will be different than how you see it. That's fine. We can all have different opinions on that. To me, what matters is that this is a calculated risk on behalf of President Trump, that he can get tough on Zelensky without emboldening the Kremlin. Now, you're either going to trust that Trump can handle Putin and this won't result in more aggression, or you're not. So you're going to decide, and a lot of people have their mind made up on Trump already. Either he can do no wrong, either he's an idiot and can't do anything right, and then that's just where a lot of people fall on this. And so most people are going to have their mind made up on this. I'm just going to shrug my shoulders on this and give Trump the benefit of the doubt. I can say I didn't particularly like the tone. I thought they tried to make an example out of him for their own reasons. Fine. Don't love it when it's a leader of a country that's in war right now. Both Russia and Ukraine are losing teenage soldiers by the day. We know this. They're almost going to have to stop and draw lines and say, done. Wherever you're at, you get it. Wherever we're at, we have it. Now, that would be a win for everybody, I think, under most people's judgment. Russia maybe has a little bit more land, but Ukraine basically lives to live another day. And I would rather Donald Trump say, if you want to fight, then we're done funding you. Just leave it at that. He didn't go that direction the other day, and so be it. As I've said before, I'm not going to spend a lot of time saying I like Trump style, I don't like Trump style. We cannot ask for someone to upend politics as normal in D.C. and then get our noses bent out of shape when he doesn't handle things exactly the way we want to see him handle things. He has earned that right. He's earned the benefit of the doubt. And I hope, like everything, I hope, like same thing with the tariffs, I hope it works out. Time will tell, and we're going to need to take more than a day or two to figure that out. 701-271-1100 is the phone number here. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded and can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and a nurse practitioner. Make an appointment and get in this week at valleychristian.co. Coming to you live from the Steve Hallstrom studio, built on a solid foundation, thanks to our sponsor, Precision Concrete Cutters and Ram Jack North. Your home is your greatest asset. Protect it and go to PCCND.com to learn more. I got a whole bunch of things in the show stack today. We're going to do our daily Doge update for you. Want to talk about this incident that happened. That's where I'm looking for. Down in Texas, where the local cheer team was competing. There is not security at most youth sports events. There isn't. And this weekend, that turned out to be a problem. And because of it, there are a bunch of kids who are freaked out, and we get that. So I want to talk about this, and I want to play for you a call that was made earlier today to our friends Ronnie and Janae on the Coffee Club on WDAY Radio, our friends at the other end of the hall. It was one of the parents of one of the competitors there. And I think we need to hear her perspective on what that felt like as a parent, and then have the conversation, what could have been done, what should be done, what is reasonable to be done in a case like this. This is a very interesting conversation. We'll have it today. I've got some commentary from one of the biggest CEO players in the country when it comes to real estate and where we're going in real estate prices in this country with interest rates the way they are. So we'll do that today here on the program as well. The man who came up with the Doge dividend idea is talking about how the idea came to him. The more I hear from this guy, the more I like what I hear. And so we'll play that for you today as well. And then a bunch of headlines here. Interesting things happening all across the region. So lots of ground to cover. Let's rock and roll here with the 4 o'clock wrap. Semi-automatic storylines going rapid fire to catch you up on what has been a busy and eventful Monday afternoon. Monday, March 3rd, 2025. Average high is 29. Last check, we were at 52. So we are well above that. Average low is 11, record high 61. So no matter how good today feels like, we're not going to be anywhere close to the record high of 61 set back in 2000. On this day back in 1884, it was minus 23. Sunrise this morning was at 7:02 and sunset will be at 6:16. Don't forget, coming up this Sunday, daylight savings time, unless the legislature does something within the next week or so. And I don't know if they can move that quickly. I kind of think it's going to happen there. And clocks will all shift forward 1 hour this coming weekend. Then those sunrise and sunset times, they get really freaky for a while. CNBC today gives us the story of the financial markets on this Monday. Yowza. It was a big trim going on Wall Street. The Dow was down 649 points to close at 43,191. S&P 500 down 104. The NASDAQ was down 497 points as well. The markets got a little spooked. Donald Trump doubled down on the tariffs today, saying the tariffs, I've got this story in the stack here. We'll give that to you in a minute, but the tariffs will proceed in the market. Said a little nervous about this in the short term, so there was some selling today. WTI crude oil down more than a dollar at 68.47. I filled up today for 279, and it's been a long time since gas has been that cheap, so we'll take it. Gold today up $55 an ounce at 2,904. Silver up 76 cents at $32.26 an ounce. Bitcoin, meanwhile, falling down almost 9 percentage points today at 86,073. All right, taking a look at fuel prices across the country. 309 as fuel prices continue to tumble. Should mean good things for the cost of products at the store. If fuel costs less, that should help. North Dakota average price 299, Minnesota 295, South Dakota 298. Diesel fuel today at $3.65. In the news today, WDAY Radio reports the Fargo City Commission will consider a request from Fargo Police Chief David Zabolski, who's going to ask them to consider moving some ordinances from non-criminal violations to what they call infractions. A non-criminal violation, according to statute, does not allow officers to take effective enforcement action. So he's going to talk to them about the violations of urinating in public and consuming alcohol in public. So should be a fairly interesting commission meeting tonight starting at 5 o'clock. Also in the news today, Gate City Bank has given $2 million to the city of Fargo to partner on the Neighborhood Revitalization Initiative. Loans are available to fund improvement projects not yet under construction, can be used for structural corrections, energy upgrades, and general property improvements. Homes must be at least 40 years of age and occupied by the homeowner. Normally, I see stories like this and I think, it's kind of just a press release and somebody wanted to draw attention to their own business. But when you're giving $2 million to people to remodel their homes, we'll put Gate City Bank in the news. No problem there. A Fargo police officer reports the Bismarck Tribune credited with stopping a gunman who killed another officer and may have been planning a mass casualty event in the city has been honored with another national award. Officer Zach Robinson has been presented with a 2024 Pitzenbarger Award from the Air Force Sergeants Association. The award honors airmen who display courage and selflessness in life-threatening situations. Robinson, in addition to being a member of the Fargo PD, is also a member of the North Dakota Air National Guard. And anytime our officers are honored for their heroism, we say that's a good day. And that makes definitely the 4 o'clock wrap. West Fargo needs a few things on its fire response amenities, says Fire Chief Dan Fuller. He said they've recently completed a comprehensive risk assessment process, and one of those needs includes a fourth fire station to be built in the far southern part of town. He says we also need some people. He wants to increase daily staffing from 12 firefighters to 17, which means hiring an additional 15 personnel. So he wants to build the new station by the year 2031. Star Tribune reports today that there was a rally on the Capitol steps in St. Paul featuring Riley Gaines, former All-American swimmer. We know her as the conservative advocate for girls and women's sports. And they had a gathering on the steps of the Capitol today. And this is occurring simultaneously with a Republican-led bill to bar transgender girls from competing on girls and women's elementary and secondary school sports teams. Now, I'll translate because some of us are still trying to get our heads around, okay, what are we here? A transgender girl is a boy who wants to be a girl and may or may not be going through some hormone therapy and different things like that. So the bill is called the Preserving Girls Sports Act. And it's prompting a heated debate. Generally, Republicans are lining up in favor of the bill. Democrats are opposed to it. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz may not be giving up on his ambition to get into the White House someday. He told the New Yorker Radio Hour over the weekend that he would consider running for president in 2028. A recent KSTP survey USA poll has Walz's approval at 52%, 44% disapproval. Despite his failed vice presidential campaign. WDAY radio reports Senator Kevin Cramer says he's planning to return to Washington, D.C. today, almost a week after an accident resulted in serious injuries. Fell on some ice, says he doesn't remember a thing, but had a seizure, slight brain bleeding, and a severe concussion as well. He says it'll keep a little bit of a light schedule for a while he gets back in the swing of things. Reuters reports today that President Trump said today there is no chance for Mexico or Canada to prevent 25% tariffs from taking effect tomorrow. And that, as we mentioned earlier, sent financial markets on a slide today. Trump said, quote, they're going to have a tariff. So what they have to do is build their car plants and other things in the United States, in which case they will have no tariffs. He says there's no room left for a deal that would avert the tariffs by curbing fentanyl flows into the United States. Trump also on Saturday signed an executive order designating English as the official language of the United States. I did not know that that wasn't in place already. It was not. And President Trump says we need to fix that. And so he signed an executive order. And finally, we are in the news today. We at our company, Fieldstone Group, have entered into a news partnership with Valley News Live. We'll be teaming up on our stations here, the Flag and WDAY Radio, with Valley News Live to give additional news coverage to our product here. You'll begin hearing some of the anchors and reporters from Valley News Live making appearances here on this program and others as well. And they will have their TV news simulcast on WDAY Radio beginning tonight as well. And those, friends, are some of the stories making headlines here on this Monday afternoon. Short break, and when we come back on the other side, our daily dose of Doge. Yes, they found more. Yes, even more software licenses that aren't being used, and they're saving a whole bunch of money by canceling them. Just finding stuff that's sitting out there, not being used, and getting rid of it. I say this is good news, and we'll talk about it next. It is Monday afternoon. That means we get to get excited about traveling somewhere. Cindy, our friend from Travel Group, is on the line with us today, and she always has some good ideas. Usually she has one that we can't beat. Today it sounds like she has two. Cindy, what do you got for us today?
Hey, I'm going to send you guys all down to the Riviera Maya.
Sounds great.
In April.
Okay.
I know. Airfare from Fargo, round trip transfers, seven night all inclusive, lodging in a superior room. Based on the double occupancy per person, it's $1,493.
Wow, another great deal where I don't know how many of these you have, Cindy, but literally every week you're telling us about a great vacation under $3,000 all in for a couple to go down there. And Riviera Maya is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, no matter where you're staying, it's nice to have an upgraded room. And you've got this built in. This isn't just the worst room in the place. You always take care of people with a great room as well. So where is Riviera Maya? That's Mexico, right? What kind of part of the region is that?
Okay, that's south. That's in the Riviera Maya. So if you fly into Cancun and you'd go south past Playa, it's actually past Playa. It's at the beach, Barcelo. So it's a nice and it's a great complex over there.
Okay, very nice. So you go down south of Playa del Carmen then? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Okay, so do you go as far as Tulum or not that far?
No, you don't quite go that far.
Okay, all right. Well, that looks absolutely fantastic. Warm weather, April, it sounds great. And I was just doing a quick Google on Riviera Maya, and I just saw this gorgeous white sand beach. So it looks absolutely fantastic. And under $3,000 for two people to go. At that price, you just can't beat it. And Cindy always puts us up at really good places where you'd love to be. So good stuff right there. And did you say, is that an all-inclusive resort, or do we go find our food elsewhere?
It is an all-inclusive.
Fantastic. Even better. Wonderful. And you said you had one other thing you're cooking up these days, too.
Yeah, we just put it together, so I'm super excited. I will be taking a group over to Hawaii in 2026.
Okay.
And I have been wanting to do this, and it's a cruise around the Hawaiian Islands. So anybody interested in like this, it's going to be a great time.
Wow, a cruise, and you're going to get to see kind of all the islands for a little bit then?
Yeah, you get to see, they'll stop off in Maui, Kauai, the big island of Hawaii, and Oahu.
Oh, fantastic. Well, as you know, Cindy puts great packages together and a cruise. What a great idea, because a lot of us think about going to Hawaii, maybe go to one part, but you always hear about, well, there's something cool on this island and that island, and it's hard to get to them all, so a cruise is the perfect way to do it. If you want to find out more, give Cindy a call, traveltravelgroup.com. That's their website. That's a good way to get a hold of them, is just go to that website and take a look at things there. And you can give them a call as well if you want to do that and ask a few questions in person. And that's 701-492-5000, 492-5000. Cindy, thanks for the visit. Great ideas as always. Thanks again. Have a great day.
Yep. Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. You too. All right. Today for the Daily Doge update, I've got this little nugget here for you. Today, the Small Business Administration completed the same software audit that the Government Services Administration completed last week. So last week we told you they found out like all these licenses at the GSA office, but that's only one office, right? You've got the Department of Ag, the Department of Energy. Well, the SBA went through the same software audit. Here's what they found. There are 10 software products that have more than 10,000 licenses at the SBA. Only problem is SBA only has 8,000 employees, and if you add the contractors in, that number's included in the 8,000. So they have at least 2,000 licenses more than they need. There were also 17,580 unused ServiceNow licenses that cost more than $2 million annually. I don't know what a ServiceNow license is. All I can tell you is they saved about 17,000 of them that were $2 million annually. Now, $2 million isn't going to solve the debt and deficit problems, but you keep stacking up $1 million here, $1 million there, and pretty soon, as they say, you've got some real money. They say this is the second year in a row that the SBA was spending $1.2 million on 7,000 unused OCTA licenses, whatever that is. And then They found out that they were paying for 1,000 Slack licenses. Slack is kind of like an interoffice messaging tool, but they're only using 10 of them. So they're using 10. They're not using 990, so they're going to save some money on that as well. So here's another $3 million, $3.5 million, $4 million, something like that. So they keep finding these things. And I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, love Trump, hate Trump. You can't look at this stuff and say it wasn't a good deal, a good idea to go through all of this. So there you go with today's Doge update. Overall, the number is about $58 billion in one-time savings they have found. So the numbers add up day by day. It's 4:30. It's time to head over to the Flag Family Newsroom. Austin Erickson is here. He's been keeping his eye on things that have been happening around town. Hello, Austin.
Good afternoon, and I'm giving your listeners here a scoop. It's the first radio update.
Scoop.
The first radio update of the day where I have this new information. Let's see.
Let's do
a source with the Fargo-Moorhead West Fargo Chamber of Commerce tells Flag Family Media the White Earth Nation is building a casino and convention center near Moorhead.
Woohoo! This is a big story, Austin.
Clay County Administrator Steve Larson says the White Earth Band of Chippewa bought land near the near Interstate 94 exit for State Highway 336. So that's the highway that goes from 94 to Highway 10.
Okay.
So that's near Moorhead.
It's not the it's kind of the Sabin exit, off of 94.
So once again, the Clay County Administrator says White Earth bought land near I-94 on December 16th, 2024 from a local land auction. Based on deed tax collected, Larson says it appears the purchase price was nearly $4 million. Mm-hmm. Flag Family News asked DFL State Senator Rob Kupek if he knows about the White Earth Nation buying land near Moorhead. He said, quote, "I don't think the tribe is ready to go public with plans," he said via text message.
Okay.
A new cannabis dispensary owned by White Earth Nation opened today in Moorhead at the old JL Beers building on Highway 10.
Yeah, heard about that, yeah.
Flag Family Media has reached out to White Earth Nation about the land purchase for a casino, but has not heard back yet.
Okay, so no confirmation yet, no comment from the White Earth. But we know that the Clay County Administrator is saying they did buy land, but they can't comment on what the plan is for that.
Right.
But we have sources that are telling us they want to build a casino in Moorhead.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, very good. Good work.
Thank you. Another big story in our area this weekend was a scare at a national cheerleading competition in Dallas, Texas. Police received reports there might be an active shooter that caused people to run from the venue, but it turned out to be loud noises from a fight among parents. A parent whose daughter is on the North Dakota Elite team based in the Fargo-Moorhead area called into WDAY Radio's The Coffee Club saying her daughter was there.
These girls have been shook, not just for that day, but I imagine a very long time.
We reached out to Varsity Brands, which runs the NCAA All-Star National Championship, about security concerns and why there was no backpack screening. The organization says, quote, "We are committed to continuously reviewing and strengthening our safety and security protocols to enhance the safety of our events. Our team regularly assesses procedures, incorporates feedback, and enlists the aid of security professionals to ensure best practices are in place."
Yeah, we're going to talk about this coming up in our next segment. This situation scares the life out of every parent. And the big question is, why is there not security of increased security? Should there be increased security at these events? So this will be a good conversation. And very thankful that we've got some parents that are willing to call and share their story on this, so we hear their perspective on those things.
Definitely. And last year in my news update, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz may not be giving up on his ambition to work at the White House. He told the New Yorker Radio Hour podcast he's considering running for president in 2028. A recent KSTP Survey USA poll has Walz approval at 52% as governor with 44% disapproval. Walz recently ruled out a run for the U.S. Senate seat that will be vacated in 2027 when Senator Tina Smith retires. Walz has said he's considering running for a third term as governor as well. He said in the New Yorker interview he will make a decision by the summer. I reached out to the Walz campaign for comment, but I haven't heard back.
Okay. The 52% approval, for some reason I thought I heard a survey that said that he was underwater in approval, but Maybe I'm just making that up. 52, I mean, is that the
There's different polls. The there's different sample sizes. There's different, you know, ratios of greater Minnesota to Twin Cities.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if one poll says one thing conducted at one point in time and another said another thing.
That number makes sense to you, though? That seems to be about what you've heard in polling?
I mean, I'm not surprised, at least from the Twin Cities area,
yeah,
because we know that's more liberal. Our area of Minnesota, western Minnesota, in polls for the last election cycle, western Minnesota, he held the least support of all areas of Minnesota.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, Austin. Thanks. Good work on that casino story.
You're very welcome.
We'll be hearing a lot more on that. 4:35, time to saunter on down to the Skywatch Weather Center. Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has been working the forecast. Dean, the most popular guy in town today.
Steve, a mild evening across the area with temperatures in the 40s to low 50s. Not bad for this time of the year. This is definitely the pick day of the week as we have pretty much light winds. But that's going to change as we head into the overnight. We're going to see those north winds pick up 10 to 25 and clouds will be on the increase. We'll drop down to a low in the lower 30s. And then for Tuesday, boy, we're going to see windy conditions out of the north at 20 to 30 and gusty, and we'll have some snow showers, especially in the morning hours, that could reduce visibility from time to time, but not expecting a lot of accumulation, less than a half inch, and many areas not even getting hardly anything at all. And then breezy and cooler weather continue into midweek with temperatures in the 30s, and it looks like we'll stay in the 30s for much of the week before warming up into the 40s as we head into next weekend. So we dodged a bullet, a major storm to our south, and we're just going to get a glancing blow from that.
Okay, very good, Dino. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate the update as always. Again, the most popular guy in town is Dean Wysocki today. It is absolutely gorgeous out there. All right, when we come back, is there security at most youth sports events? No. Should there be? Maybe, but how? The weekend events at a national cheer competition have some kids in a tailspin. We're going to hear from the parent of one of those kids coming up next. Hey, friends, Style Save Bath and Shower, they are the experts in tub-to-shower conversions. They've done more than 1,000 jobs here in our area since 2010. They're veteran-friendly, lots of experience working with the VA as well. More than 20 million adults a year, the CDC says, are injured in the bathroom. And if you want to look at getting into a nursing home, that's expensive. Average cost is about $9,000 a month. So if you are able to stay in your home a little while longer, that's a good thing. And the folks at Style Safe Bath and Shower can help you do that. You want to make sure that you're staying safe, though, if you're going to be in your home as you're getting up there in years. And so Style Safe Fargo will be happy to stop by your home, take a look, give you an estimate, and then you decide what makes sense for you. StyleSafeFargo.com is their website, StyleSafeFargo.com. All right, this morning on the WDAY Coffee Club program with Ronnie and Janae, our friends down at the other end of the hall, unbeknownst to Ronnie and Janae, a mom of one of the cheerleaders who was at the cheer event, the national competition down in Texas. She was listening. You've heard probably about the story already, so I won't go into all the details there. But basically, there was, as Austin told us a minute ago, there was a disturbance in the building. Someone thought it was an active shooter, and people began to panic. And a lot of kids are having some traumatic kind of after effects from that happening, thinking that they were in this big building with an active shooter. And so this morning, a parent who chose not to give her name, but I think very interesting perspective on the conversation, called into the radio station.
It was almost as if it was a terroristic situation and how people responded. Mm-hmm. She is shook like I have never imagined. There are numerous parents that were in different parts of the venue when this went down. It's where they heard gunshots. Mm-hmm. And not only inside the venue, but outside the venue.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are very upset, and they feel like they don't have answers. And it caused mass chaos with how they were yelling people to shooter, get out. The biggest problem as a parent and having a daughter that's traveled all over the country for this sport, this is the biggest cheer competition in the world. Over 1,700 teams.
Mm-hmm. My goodness.
And when they went into this venue, there was absolutely no security. There was no backpack checks. The only time you needed a ticket or a wristband to get in was to go into an actual hall and watch a team compete. This is compared to every other competition that we've been to, including smaller venues like in Brookings, South Dakota, where they go through everybody's backpack. You can't bring in anything from the outside, whether it's bottled water, Gatorade, snacks. They take and throw it all away, but they check every backpack. So going into this event, they didn't even have proper security.
That's crazy.
So as a parent of a daughter who was competing, do you know if anybody has heard from either the Dallas police or the venue itself on their response to the incident?
I am not sure. I got her on an early flight home today. Okay. But I am really going to advocate that they bring in some sort of therapist or counselor to the gym, because these girls have been shook, not just for that day, but I imagine a very long time.
Okay, so there was a couple more minutes there, but I think that was the biggest pieces of that. Here's what I am trying to figure out, and you know what I say on this show. We try to figure out life together in this program. I had kids that played travel sports all the way through. My daughter played volleyball up until like the last year that she could, going into her senior year of high school. And we never had our bags searched. Not once do I remember in any, and we were, you know, local tournaments, statewide tournaments, national tournaments, never had, did they ask to search your bag. You had to like have a wristband on to show that you paid to be in the building. But this mom said in this clip that we typically have our backpack searched. Now, that might be a new thing in the last 5 years, but it wasn't that way 5 years ago when my daughter competed as well. Here's my question is, what level of security is enough? If you have something like this happens, where you have a situation where someone thought they heard shooter, and there's a bunch of different stories about what really happened there, loud noises. I've heard that one of the theories is somebody's yelled seizure because a kid was having a medical emergency. Someone thought they said shooter, and people panicked. But what do you think should be required is the question I have for you. I have to admit, back 5 years ago when we were doing these travel tournaments, we knew there were school shooters back then. This isn't just a new thing in the last 5 years. There's been more of that probably recently, but we never even thought too much about it. You went to the gym and nothing really ever happened. And so I get it, times have changed and maybe security is a little different right now, but what do you think should be required? There's not, you know, metal detectors. We never had bags searched, anything like that at the time. So what should be required in these cases? Because I just don't remember having to go through any kind of security at all. The girls would bring in their backpacks with their volleyballs and their shoes in it and their snacks and treats and whatever else they had. But I don't think it's common everywhere to have a real intense safety protocol. If you've got a child that's doing travel sports right now, I'd be interested in hearing your perspective on this. Do you typically have bag checks when you go in to a gym? I don't know that my wife ever had her purse searched when she went in, and we probably had a backpack over our shoulder with either stuff for Natalie or stuff for us, lunch or whatever it might have been. And I just don't remember ever having been searched that way. So it's easy at a time like this to want to say the venue should have done more, and maybe they should have, but I just don't know what's reasonable, because if someone's bent on doing harm, they're going to do it, and I don't know how you could search everybody for everything every time. I just don't know. They don't typically have enough people there to do that. You just have, you know, a kid at the front counter. At least, again, this was 5 years ago. Has it changed? I'd like to hear from some people on that, because I don't know what you do because these are weekend events, and you typically don't have a lot of staff on hand that are capable of doing these kind of security checks. Again, maybe it's changed. Would love to hear some perspective on that. What should have been done, what should be the standard protocol on this would be very interested in hearing what you think about that. If you're somebody in youth sports, you've got kids doing it, would be interested to hear what you think about that too at 701-271-1100. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. You can also text us 701-237-1590 or email studio@flagfamily.com. From the text line, by the way, Steve, an easy way to remember the whole trans thing is just consider trans to be the same as saying not a. So a trans girl is not a girl. Trans girl, not a girl. I guess that's a handy way to remember it because I get confused. So that would be consistent with what it seems to me. A trans girl is a boy, a biological male, who is now identifying as a female. So that makes sense. Trans equals nada. Got it. All right, 449 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. Would like your thoughts on the cheerleading competition, the security story there. So let us know if you have thoughts on that. But when we come back, what's next for the country's real estate market? Some great perspective from a guy who's in the business every day. That and more when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, 271-1100, if you've got a comment on the cheerleading security story, Stephen Fargo does, and he is with us now on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Good.
Good. This is a tough one. I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't think anyone can imagine if you've lost anyone, especially a child, to any incident, but it's, a shooter, whether it be a school or an event or whatever. So we certainly have to be sensitive to that. But by the same token, it gets down to, how big are these events? What are the revenue sources? That type of thing. I have children that are playing sports right now, doing some travel basketball. And relatively speaking, these are, hundreds of people, 10, 15, 20 teams, that type of thing. Small gym, small church, whatever. They're charging you $7 at the door, that type of thing. How the numbers, you can't afford to have security. It just doesn't work. The events could not go on. Now, if this woman is saying this is the largest event and whatever, and there's thousands of people there, at some point, does an attempt to have, some additional security make sense? I think absolutely, there's economies of scale there. But that said, to your point, if somebody wants to get in there, they are, okay. And, so there's only so much you can do. And then the reality of these things actually happening is not very high. So the other issue that we have is the boy who cried wolf. It's like when someone screams seizure because someone's having a seizure, people should not run for the doors because they thought they said shooter.
Yeah.
The media has got people so whipped into a frenzy that they think these things happen every day, that I think some people's reaction to some noises, some whatever fast movements, some whatever it was that caused this whole thing is just grossly overblown. But a stampede is a stampede. Doesn't matter what caused it. I get it. It can be dangerous and bad. So I don't know. I'm kind of walking the line on this, but I think everybody's got to buckle down a little bit and figure it out.
Yeah, same here. I keep, this is probably not the right answer, but I keep thinking back to if it's my daughter's time to go or it's my time to go, it's going to be our time to go. And not that that's the attitude you want to have when you're running an event. I get it. But you just can't protect against everything every time. You just can't. Your kids, when you go to these events, Steve, do you go through any kind of security? Are there bag searches when they go to their tournaments?
Never.
Yeah, that's our experience,
folding,
too.
It's a folding table at the front door with a tin box, and you give them your $7, $8, $9, $10. They stamp your hand, and everybody marches in, every single one of them.
Yeah, that's kind of how it seems to me, too. And I think you're right, Steve. If you got a big national tournament and there's going to be, a million people there, probably good idea to have some people roaming the building. There are different things. But when you've got a packed gym and it's young kids, boys or girls, they're at that age when everything is emotional and people kind of get hysterical. That's just the way kids sometimes are. I hate to sound insensitive, but I keep coming back to thinking, this is just kind of the kind of thing that can happen from time to time. Doesn't make it right or good, but you can't protect against everything in these cases. You just can't.
Yeah. Let me give you a good example. I still see people in airports and walking around outside with a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the same type thing. They drove that you're going to die if you breathe the air into so many people. There's now, again, I granted some of them may have, you know, very strong comorbidities. There may be pieces that
yep.
I'm unaware of, but I see families traveling all buttoned up with the mask thing. And yeah. again, I don't know the individual circumstance, but I think that so many people got so hyped on how deadly COVID was. And for a while it was, that ship has sailed. We need to move past it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying the shooter thing has sailed. I'm just saying
yeah, I get
we
it.
Have to mitigate the hysteria around certain acts.
Yeah, got it. Steve, thanks a lot for giving a call. Appreciate the perspective. And I'm thankful to hear from somebody who's got kids doing youth sports to get their thoughts on this as well. From the text line, Steve, for some parents, it doesn't matter what security precautions are taken. It'll never be enough. And then if you increase security and keep everybody safe, they'll complain at stressing the kids out with all that security. So, yeah, it's a catch-22. Look, it's a tough conversation. I get it. No easy answers there. I'm just glad there wasn't really a shooter. Hour two of the Steve Hallstrom Show coming up next. Here we go. Hour number two of the Steve Hallstrom Show on this Monday afternoon. Hope you're able to enjoy. Hope you did. Hope you will. If you haven't yet been able to enjoy this fantastic afternoon, what a glorious day. Temperatures, the high temperature that I saw today was 52. Not sure if it ticked a degree or so above that. Record high for this day, we're nowhere close to that. That's 61, which is back in 2000. But boy, it feels great, doesn't it? And not much wind at all. When you get those warm days this time of year, a lot of times you get the wind really gusting, but we didn't get any of that today. So very thankful for an absolutely beautiful day. Hope that you're getting a chance to enjoy it one way or another. Coming up in this hour of the program, we've got our top five at five coming to you here in just a few minutes. The big breaking story today, our newsroom breaking the news that a land purchase has been made off I-94 near the Sabin exit in Moorhead for a new casino and convention center. White Earth Nation is going to build that. Coming up here in the days ahead, they bought the land back in December for about $3.9 million. And our sources are telling us it's going to be a casino and convention center. So we'll talk about that a little bit as time goes on. You are always welcome to jump in on the show here, 701-271-1100 as well, to give us your thoughts on the stories of the day. Also coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, the man who came up with the Doge dividend is speaking out about how the idea came to him when I heard his explanation of why I like the idea even more. So we got that yet to go. And then I still want to play for you. We had a call earlier and we're not able to get to it, but the conversation about the country's real estate market and the CEO of Redfin, they're in the business every day. He's got some thoughts on what the obstacles are for home ownership and why we continue to see the spread between people that can buy a home and people that are buying a home. So we'll do that here as we walk through the day here as well. Let's get right to the top five at five here. It's brought to you by Nancy Kelly Realty. Go to nancykellyrealty.com and find out more about Colfax Meadows, where small-town living is still a thing. Here are what I believe to be the five most consequential stories in the news cycle today. There are a number of candidates today. I've narrowed it down to these five. As I mentioned a minute ago, a source with the FM West Fargo Chamber tells our newsroom that the White Earth Nation is building a casino and convention center near Moorhead. Clay County Administrator Steve Larson says the White Earth Band of Chippewa bought 281 acres of land near I-94 at the Highway 336 exit from a local land auction, $3.9 million of the value. DFL State Senator Rob Kupek told our newsroom, "I don't think the tribe is ready to go public with any plans." By the way, a new cannabis dispensary owned by White Earth Nation opened today in Moorhead at the old J.L. Beers building there. We've reached out to the White Earth Nation about the land purchase. They have not yet responded. So big breaking story today, a casino and convention center coming to Moorhead off I-94. Story number two, the Fargo City Commission tonight is going to consider a request from Fargo Police Chief Dave Zabolski. Police will ask the commission to consider moving ordinances regarding urinating in public and consuming alcohol in public from non-criminal violations to infractions. A non-criminal violation does not allow officers to take effective enforcement action, says Zabolski. The meeting started about 10 minutes ago down at City Hall. Also in the news today, West Fargo Fire Chief Dan Fuller says results are in from a new comprehensive risk assessment process, which analyzes pretty much everything and anything in the West Fargo Fire Department. And they have come up with some future needs of the department. One of them includes a fourth fire station to be built in the far southern part of West Fargo. Fuller says that they need to improve response times. They're not in the target range in some areas here. And so they need to add some people, and they need to add a new fire station. He wants to increase the staffing level from 12 firefighters a day to 17. And that means they would have to hire an additional 15 firefighters. He thinks the new fire station should be built by 2031, so that's 6 years, on land at the corner of 47th Avenue West and Cheyenne Street. Story number four, this comes from Fox Business today, and I was telling you during the market wrap that we did at 4 o'clock today that it was a very, it's been a very bizarre market for Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, which, look, these have always been super volatile. But just within the last few days, we've had some wild swings. Well, Donald Trump is scheduled to host an event on cryptocurrency at the White House next week. He's calling it the Crypto Summit. It'll be held on Friday, and this will be the first ever White House event of its kind. Trump will deliver some remarks during the summit as well. It'll be led by White House AI and crypto czar David Sacks and will be administered by the Working Group's executive director. This comes after Trump signed an executive order in January to establish the Working Group, which consists of officials from various federal agencies. Trump has been pretty out front about this, saying that it's good to have a diversification of assets, and this is something that he believes has a future and therefore wants the United States to be ahead of the game and have some conversations about this. He used this quite a bit on the campaign trail. And then Kamala Harris kind of followed suit, too, and said that she would develop some kind of a crypto storehouse that the country would have, kind of like the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. So I struggle sometimes to understand the whole concept of Bitcoin. All I know is that some very smart and very wealthy people are all about it. And they say that it is definitely something that needs to be addressed. I will tell you this. I interviewed two guys in the gold-silver business not too long ago, the precious metals business, and both of them told me that they advised their clients to get some share of cryptocurrency as well. So these are normally kind of the guys that, you know, not going to move too fast with the times. They're all about their traditional. You protect it, play it safe with your assets, and they are, both the guys are all about it. So it's interesting. If I had the money handy, I would be dollar cost averaging into some in one way or shape. I don't right now, but maybe someday soon that will happen. And finally, this is in here just because I think it's interesting enough. President Trump signed on Saturday over the weekend an executive order designating English as the official language of the United States. The order allows government agencies and organizations to get federal funding to choose whether to continue to offer documents and services in languages other than English. So now it's not mandatory. This rescinds a mandate from former President Clinton that required the government and organizations that got federal funding to provide language assistance to non-English speakers. More than 30 states have already passed laws designating English as their official language. This, according to U.S. English, a group that advocates for making English the official language in the United States. I guess I would have thought that we would have already done that and declared English to be the official language of the U.S. However, that is not the case, but it is now, thanks to President Trump's declaration on Saturday. All right, short break for us. When we come back, we're going to catch up with our friend Scott Hennen for our weekly sojourn through the headlines and stories that are making news here over the weekend, get his thoughts on the whole Ukraine situation, and also his thoughts on the big breaking story of the day. A convention center and casino is going to be built just outside Moorhead. All that and more coming up next. Hey, friends, you want the best for your parents, and so do they at Prairie Ridge Apartments in Fargo. It's a perfect place for them to call home. Imagine a space where your parents can enjoy lively card games, share delicious potluck dinners, have friends and neighbors close every day in a secure, modern environment. Built with safety and comfort in mind, Prairie Ridge is bright, secure, and managed by attentive on-site staff. We're always there if your parents need a helping hand. It's more than just a place to live. It's a welcoming community that feels like family. Give your parents the opportunity to thrive in a caring, affordable environment. Explore Prairie Ridge Apartments at lcpropertymanagement.org. That's lcpropertymanagement.org. Or call Stephanie at 701-425-3574 today. Their peace of mind is your peace of mind. Joined on the phone line right now by Scott Hennen, host of the What's On Your Mind radio program here on The Flag. We chat with Scotty every Monday afternoon. Glad to have him on the line here today. Mr. Hennen, how are you?
I'm excellent. How are you doing?
Doing well, sir. Thank you. You are on the road today, and boy, the Twin Cities, all kinds of interesting things going on the Minnesota side of the border, Twin Cities and close to home as well. You've heard this story now about the Native American tribe, the White Earth Nation, buying this land in Moorhead for a casino and convention center. Your thoughts on this big development that's breaking today?
Yeah, no, I think that's very interesting. You know, obviously, the White Earth Indian Reservation has done an amazing thing with the Shooting Star Casino and their various satellite casinos in northern Minnesota. Manoan, probably their most famous location. And, you know, they used the proceeds from that to better the lives of enrolled members. They've used the opportunity of having the restaurant and the concert venue and the casino to hire many Native Americans. It's been an employment thing for Manoan, and I think this makes sense. If you're them, you want to come closer to a population center. I think what's interesting is it sounds like this facility is going to be quite the ordeal with a convention center, a concert venue, a hotel, plus obviously the actual casino. And when you think about it, we really don't have anything close in the metro. So I think this is significant. What we do know is that I think any kind of official announcement is a little premature. Representative Rob Kupek was aware of it, said that the tribe was not ready to go public with it yet. We learned that land had been purchased, a significant amount of land on 984. So a lot of the pieces are coming together, not a lot of the details, but in talking to some folks in the business community, this is real and is going to proceed. So I think about a couple of things. One, will that make the legislature in North Dakota think differently about the proposal from the Turtle Mountain Group to do the same near Grand Forks? They kind of poo-pooed that for a number of different reasons. But a lot of the Grand Forks people were upset about, hey, you're forgetting a tourism component here. And Canadians coming down 29. Well, now if this happened, it'd be just a draw for the Canadians to keep coming further south.
Yeah.
I think also that if you're Fargo and considering a mega investment in a convention center, is that necessary when you're going to have a convention center, over there? Obviously, it'll depend on what size and how does it compare, and does it scratch the itch that Fargo claims is needed on the convention center side? So a lot of interesting angles to this.
I am fascinated by this story, and I have to admit, when I heard it, I thought to myself, that's brilliant to build a casino in Moorhead. With you got this big metropolitan area, Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. And yeah, if you want to go to the casino now, you got to either drive down to Hankinson or up to Shooting Star in Manoan or somewhere else not handy to get to for people in this area. So I'm kind of surprised that nobody has done it yet. And I'll say this, if sports gambling goes through the Minnesota legislature during this session, and it sounds like there's a fair amount of momentum for that to happen, they will be very glad to have a casino in Moorhead, because Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo, that is an area where there's a lot of people that like to bet on sports, and the fact that they could go across to Moorhead without having to drive down to Hankinson to place their bets, I think they'll do a bazillion dollars of business on that. So I guess I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened before. Certainly it stands to be a big deal if this happens. I think you bring up also a really good question, Scott, about a convention center. Fargo's been talking about it. City of Moorhead has not really been talking about anything like that. And does that blow the candle out on that? It would be odd for them to build another one in Fargo, Moorhead, if something is in Moorhead, you know, just outside city limits there. I guess you could have another one, and the people of Fargo have voted to contribute money toward it through this lodging tax, but I don't know that you need two convention centers in this area.
No, I think that'll definitely be a cause for pause. Obviously, we need details on the facility, so you can say, well, you know, in other words, I don't know, maybe, could it be that Shooting Star is going to do something like the Ramada has, you know, in or the Holiday Inn have in Fargo? Well, then, while it would be an additional convention facility, it wouldn't be kind of the larger big conventions, the ones that Charlie Johnson and the folks at CVB say we're missing out on in the region. Plus, I don't know about you, but I love the idea. It would be privately funded, and you don't need, tax dollars to do it. And another way to do it, I look at the downsides of this, and some people are going to say more gambling's not good. And certainly there are people that do get addicted to gambling. There's well-known programs out there to handle that, but that train has left the station to me. I mean, you're going to have some people that don't like gambling. I get it, but I don't think that's a reason to not allow what to me looks like lawful candidate, enterprise here where a tribe buys land, therefore it's tribal land, therefore they can put a casino on it. So it's doable. And I guess I'm hearing that the level of approvals, like in North Dakota, you can't do this without the legislature. I don't know why. I do remember something similar that the governor is basically said if the Grand Forks thing goes through, he's all for it. Something was proposed years ago. Ed Schaefer opposed it, so it didn't go anywhere. But I guess they could do it. The other thing you'll hear about as well, there's going to be an impact to charitable gaming. And the charitable gaming obviously does a lot of good for hockey clubs and all kinds of different charities. Some people will see that as an impact. Certainly will be an impact. I don't know about you, but if I'm out for a burger, a beer, and I grab a couple pull tabs, that's very different than I'm going to go see a concert at a casino and maybe put a couple bucks in a slot machine or have a little fun at the blackjack table. I don't know that that's a competitor, but you'll hear some of that, I think.
There's a big event down at the steps of the state capitol in St. Paul today. Riley Gaines was there. Jack Brewer was there. Basically a rally in support of some legislation that Republicans are pushing in this legislative session called the Preserving Girls Sports Act. I'm reading the Star Tribune account of this story, which is always a dangerous escapade. But their assessment is that if today's events at the Capitol are any indication, the battle lines are starkly partisan. And they go on to say that pretty much Republicans unanimously are behind this banning of biological males from participating in girls' sports. But Democrats are digging in their heels saying that this bill is wrong. It's very much Democrat versus Republican. And in most of the country, we have seen that there is some Democrat support for these kinds of bills to keep biological males out of women's sports. I guess it shouldn't surprise us that St. Paul and the state capitol is sort of ground zero for people really looking at this along ideological lines.
I'd love to have been there today. We had clips with Jack Brewer on today, and I'm working on a follow-up interview with both Riley Gaines and Jack Brewer to talk about that. By the way, what you're talking about of the Star Trips take on this, that there's, you know, political divide. Politically speaking, let me be partisan for a minute. I couldn't be happier with the Democratic reaction to this. Because politically, this is not sustainable. If you argue that a boy should be able to go into a girl's locker room and undress in front of girls, or boys should be able to play in girls' sports, you've lost your flipping mind. I don't believe that if we could magically pull the American people that, you know, maybe 20% would say, I don't know, maybe the poor soul's confused and we ought to just let him play in the game. This is nuts. This is crazy, and I happen to believe that it's a mental health issue.
Yes.
If a boy wants to decide that he's a girl and wants to undress in front of girls because he thinks he's a girl, there is a mental health issue there. And by the way, The Fargo public school system right now is defying state law and federal rules on this very point right now today. They don't want to they don't want to tell parents if kids identify as a furry or a male or a female or anything different than their actual gender. They don't think the parents ought to be involved, and their high school leagues are woke on this. It's crazy, but all I can say is I hope the Democrats keep doing what they're doing, because that's why they got their head handed to them in November, and those losses will continue if they keep up this insanity.
Yeah, I saw a poll that Fox News published it. They had it on their on the screen today. I don't know if it was their poll or somebody else's, but even 67% of Democrats do not agree with this, that biological males should play in girls' sports. So it doesn't even seem to be popular among Democrats. But I guess if you want, you know, the mixing bowl of wacko ideology among Democrats, go to the Twin Cities and go to the Capitol, where you get the Democrats together. Minnesota Democrats have become more extreme than just about anywhere else in the country. And I don't get it, because most of Minnesota is not that way. There's still a lot of good old-fashioned Second Amendment pro-life Democrats in Minnesota, but something weird happens in the Twin Cities. I don't understand it.
Yeah, by the way, did you hear today that there's a report that Tampon Tim, I think it was on our news, I saw the news alert, which are on our apps, by the way. Get the app and you'll get the news first, like this story out of the Minnesota and the casino. But I saw that he's contemplating a run for president. I mean, yeah. You can't make it up. You've got to be a special kind of stupid if you're Tampon Tim Walls, who just lost in a landslide election, and think that you're presidential timber. I mean, I don't know. There's a weird level of arrogance there and insanity that I don't get, because you're exactly right. The majority of the American people rejected that kind of agenda in the last election. And again, abortion sanctuary state. If you are a minor, come to Minnesota, is what Tim Wall says, and you can have an abortion here without telling your parents. That's disgusting. What they're doing, and they think this is good policy.
Wow.
But and speaking of Democrats losing their mind, let me give you another example. One of their members turns into a cat burglar, puts on all black and black paint, breaks into the home of her former mother-in-law, sneaks in under her bed to steal stuff, gets caught, and nobody in the Democratic Party in Minnesota says, boy, that's a bad look.
Yeah,
and basically does nothing and lets her keep her position, even though she's under criminal complaint right now. They've lost their minds. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Breaking news, Linda McMahon has been confirmed as education secretary. So the Senate got that done just a few minutes ago. An interesting choice, Scotty. She doesn't have a lot of education in her background. Maybe that's a good thing. We'll see how long that department hangs around. I don't think anybody expects that there's going to be a lot of funding or propping up of the Department of Education, but the McMahon confirmation is now official.
Linda McMahon is a wicked smart lady.
Yes,
when you look at her record and what she did, she is a savvy business person. And you could go around the cabinet table and say, oh, this person didn't have that experience or that experience. In my mind, what they are there to do is run an enterprise that is battling off court.
Yes.
Common sense. And in her case, she might be one of the most important cabinet nominees, because she needs to dismantle that agency. The president's promised that it's going to happen. And before you clutch your pearls, know what will happen with federal education dollars is they will come back to the states. That's how the founding fathers envisioned education. We don't need a federal Department of Education. We know at the school board level, most of them anyway, not Fargo, most of them are good common sense folks on those school boards.
Mm-hmm.
Same with superintendents. They know better. States know better. We don't need the federal government to tell us how to do education. And go look at educational outcomes since the creation of a federal Department of Education. They've gotten worse on every front. It's a disaster now. I forget how far down the chain we are internationally in the country. We rank terrible in all the key education points. So it's time for it to be done, and she's got a big job. I'm glad she's there.
All right, Scotty, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. You are on your way down to the Twin Cities. What do you get coming up on the What's on Your Mind show the rest of the week?
Well, Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo Chamber is taking a contingent of folks down, so I'm going to be a little mouse in the corner and follow them around the Capitol talking about the issues important, obviously, to Moorhead and Clay County. The members of the Fargo-Moorhead-West Fargo Chamber, Shannon Full and their entire team coming down with a lot of chamber members and business leaders. So we'll be talking to all of them. Rob Kupek is someone that's influential in a very tight Senate over in Minnesota. We'll talk with him tomorrow. We're going to talk to Kendall Qualls, who's been active in Minnesota politics. Wednesday, some more members, and then all of that from the state capitol for the next 2 days. And then Thursday and Friday, and hopefully Saturday, we'll be putting on the orange and black.
Yes.
And live from the lobby of the St. Paul Hotel, we got a great all-star lineup. Dave Morinville, longtime head coach of the great Moorhead Spuds, is going to join us. Dean Blaze, former state champ with Roseau. Kerry Eads, former state champ with War Road. Going to talk to Spuds legends from over the years, and really looking forward to hopefully, finally, a state championship for the Moorhead Spuds. Will be so dang fun. And I know you're doing pre- and post-game coverage over on WDAY. Larry Knutson will be doing the play-by-play. I'm fired up. This tournament's like the holy grail of Minnesota. It's going to be a blast.
It's amazing. It's going to be a total blast. All right, Scotty, thanks much. Travel safe, and we'll talk again soon. The one and only Scott Hannon from the What's On Your Mind radio program. Catch him every weekday morning at 8:30. All right, when we come back, Herb in Detroit Lakes wants to give us his comments on the casino. We've got a news and weather break we got to hit. We'll be back with Herb's conversation. And then the man who came up with the Doge dividend is talking about how the idea came to him. You're not going to want to miss this. That's next on the Steve Alstrom Show. If you're just joining us, the big breaking story this afternoon, sources tell our newsroom that the White Earth Nation is building a casino and convention center near Moorhead. Apparently, they bought 281 acres off I-94 near the Highway 336 exit. That's the one that you take to get down to Sabin. For about $3.9 million, they have not commented. They've been asked for comment from our newsroom. No comment there. And State Senator Rob Kupek was asked about it over the weekend in Moorhead, and he said that I don't think the tribe is ready to go public with plans about what they're going to do with the land. But our sources tell us that there will be a casino and convention center that's planned, at least, near Moorhead. Herb in Detroit Lakes wants to talk about that. He's been patient to hold on the line for a few minutes. He joins us now on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hi, Herb.
Hey, Steve. Say, I thought that casinos and other things had to be built on tribal land. Is that outdated thinking, or that's why they built Monoman in Monoman?
Yeah,
on the right. Or is it? Does it mean as soon as the tribe buys the land, does it automatically become a reservation?
It's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. If they buy the land, I guess you could say it's their land, their ownership, but it's not located on a reservation as far as...
No.
I don't think any of that land would be considered that. So, there's a lot of people talking about it like it's a done deal, but I don't know. Apparently they have got the authorizations they need to do that.
Yeah, I know, like, Callaway is just barely on the reservation, so they can have some slots in the liquor store. But I thought all of these other ones, because gambling is basically illegal in Minnesota, you know.
Yeah, if it's not on the native land, yeah, you're right about that.
Right.
Yeah, they wouldn't have bought two. Part of it to me is like, well, how much land did they buy, and does that tell us anything? They bought 281 acres, so it's enough to do a pretty major, a project there. Now, I guess they could just do a convention center if they can't get the approvals to do a casino. Do concerts and things like that, but I don't know. It seems like these things typically tie together with some kind of a gambling presence there. So we'll see. But Herb, you raised good questions. Thanks for giving a call today.
Okay, thanks.
You got to take care. Good stuff there. I imagine those details will come forward in the days ahead. All right, well, I want to have you hear something I heard over the weekend that I thought was very interesting. The CEO of Azoria Investments, his name is James Fishback. Now, you probably don't know the name Fishback, nor do you know the name Azoria Investments. What you probably know is the Doge dividend idea. And he was on Fox News Channel over the weekend, And he was the one that apparently came up with the Doge dividend idea, that 20% of the savings from Doge should be returned to the taxpayers. And if you divide the amount of projected savings by the number of taxpayers we have in the country, you could give every tax filer a $5,000 Doge dividend check. President Trump pretty much immediately warmed up to the idea, even though it wasn't his. But it sort of caught fire here, and the president himself talked about it as he was asked about it over the weekend by some people. He says, you know what, I think that this James Fishback guy is onto something here. And so I'm going to play for you some comments from the president and then the interview with Fishback that took place over the weekend.
I love it. A 20% dividend, so to speak, for the money that we're saving by going after the waste and fraud and abuse. If it's 20%, we'd give back a lot of money to the taxpayer. And also it'd give an incentive for the tax mayor to go out and report things to us where we could save money.
That's a good point, too.
That's President Trump backing the idea of a Doge dividend that could send $5,000 checks to American taxpayers, funded by the money saved from the federal government by Doge. Here to make the case is the man who first pitched the proposal, Azoria CEO James Fishback. James, thanks so much for being here. You were on Capitol Hill Thursday meeting with Senate Republicans to go over this plan. Tell us about the details.
Hi, Maria. The plan, I'm honored to have the president's support, but the plan is very simple. Doge is going to save X amount of money over the next couple of years. Let's take 20% of that and send it right back to the hardworking taxpayers who sent it to D.C. in the first place. So my meetings on Capitol Hill on Thursday were great. Met with Senator Justice, Senator Lankford, spoke with the Chiefs of Staff luncheon, and really getting good feedback and overwhelming positive support for this bold plan to really pay restitution to the taxpayer for all of the shenanigans that Doge has exposed. And then second, as the president said on Air Force One, to incentivize American taxpayers to report wasteful spending that they are seeing. That's how we build on this fiscal responsibility movement under President Trump's leadership.
Well, my pushback would be, look, the whole point of this exercise is to cut down our deficit and debts. So if the priority is to cut out wasteful spending so that we could focus on the debt, shouldn't we just prioritize all of that money toward deficits and debt?
When we're $36 trillion in debt, we've dug ourselves a pretty deep hole. So we need to address that first.
We need to turn what Doge is identifying into real spending reductions. We need to actually reduce the deficit, if not balance the budget, before we start paying out dividend checks.
I care about the $36 trillion in debt, too. And I think that's why under our proposal, and the president has suggested this as well, that 80% of it would go to narrowing the deficit and paying down the debt. But remember, Maria, the number one holder of our national debt is the American taxpayer. They sent their money to D.C. to be spent responsibly and wisely. It turns out, as Doge has exposed, it wasn't. They are overdue for a refund. And so if you think about incentivizing the taxpayer in the long term, we have to get them on board. And what better way to tackle the debt long term than to deputize 100 million Americans to report waste, fraud, and abuse that they are seeing from the federal government, and then reported to Doge. Why? Because the more that Doge saves, Maria, the bigger the Doge dividend check will be. In economics, as you know, show me the incentive and I will show you the outcome. We are giving every American the incentive to call out waste, fraud, and abuse. And the outcome is less waste, fraud, and abuse, a smaller budget, a narrower deficit, and a much more manageable national debt picture.
Yeah, but we saw stimulus checks go out during COVID or after the pandemic. And what happened? It caused inflation. We saw the consumer price index go to 40-year highs. So how worried are you that sending money out to taxpayers is going to trigger inflation once again?
You're right, Maria. And we are still recovering from the Biden-Harris inflation, the worst in 40 years. And as I'm sure you can appreciate the nuance here, the situation is a little bit different. Here's why. Think about the macro backdrop when those checks went out in 2021. We had a supply chain crisis. We had a labor shortage. We had all sorts of dislocations in the economy, not to mention the fact that the Fed was printing $100 billion a month and rates were at zero. The macro backdrop today is very, very different.
It's true.
Drill, baby, drill means lower energy prices, deregulation, fiscal spending actually being reined in. So the backdrop is very, very different. And then polling data suggests that 70% 40% of Americans who would receive a Doge dividend check like this would actually use it to pay down debt of their own, much of which they took on just to keep their head above water during the Biden-Harris regime. And so if you pay down debt with a check like this, that's not inflationary, that's actually deflationary. And so I trust the American people. They sent this money to D.C. just a couple years ago. They're getting it back as a refund. The macro backdrop has changed. And so I don't have the inflationary concerns, which I did have, by the way, back in 2021. And I called out the Biden-Harris administration then. That was reckless policy. This is sound policy. And I'm honored that President Trump supports it.
Yeah, it just feels different to me when you're giving people back their own tax money. I get it. And what Maria is saying is true. If you give people a bunch of money to spend, that's inflationary because you put money in people's hands. And yes, some people might pay down debt. Chances are they're going to spend a fair amount of that. So you might have a little bit of an impact there. I just feel like we talked about this with the Laffer curve, and Larry Kudlow talks about this all the time on his show. If you cut tax rates and basically cut taxes to the American people, it will lead to increase federal revenues because of the activity. The rates can remain the same, but you'll have more activity that people will get taxed on, right? When you spend money, there's taxes on that. So it just feels different when you're talking about a tax rebate compared to let's spend $100 billion on a government program. We're just going to write checks out of the federal government's bank account. We're going to basically print money to do that. You're flooding the zone with money that doesn't directly help people. That just goes to a select few. This tends to be something I think a lot of people can get behind. And if it does, like both of those people are saying, Trump and Fishback are saying, if it does lead people to start be their own sort of bounty hunter on this thing and help find areas of waste and abuse, not only will that help us on the federal level, but it'll help us figure out things that are happening on the state level as well, where there can be some impact to local units. Now, maybe the people that, in St. Paul don't want to hear about the waste, fraud, and abuse. I don't know. But I certainly think the people in, Mankato would want to hear about that. The people in, small town Minnesota would want to hear about that, and North Dakota as well. Just because North Dakota is generally a well-run state doesn't mean that we don't have some of this going on as well. All right, let's sneak in JJ. I've got just a quick minute before I've got to get to something else, but what's on your mind, my friend?
So I used to be a teacher many years ago, and one of the items that always was a little hard for me to deal with is you were given a budget. And when you'd get towards the end of the year, if you hadn't used all of your budget, they would tell you, hey, you got to make sure you go spend it.
Yep.
Because if you don't, you're not going to get as much next year. Well, what I would like to see is an incentive so that government offices, all of them, if they're given a budget and they don't spend it all, let's say 80% of it goes back to the general fund specifically to pay down debt. We'll go that route. But the other 20% then becomes a bonus to those workers for doing such a good job. And now we're incentivizing them not to spend that money.
Yeah, that's what we do in business all the time, right? It's the privatization of government that you're talking about there. But yes, give people incentive and you will get the desired outcome. It's exactly what we're talking about with turn in the examples of waste that you see going on there. I like it, Jay. Yeah, it's going to require a complete paradigm shift for people that run governmental agencies. But what better way to start? I mean, we're seeing DOGE efforts going on in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota in some form or another because of what's happening at the federal level. So let's start there, and we might see these things happen in places that we call home as well. I like it, Jay. Thanks a lot for the call today. Good idea. And I think we need more good creative thinking like that. All right, 5:52 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back on the program, I've got some information I want to play for you from the CEO of Redfin about the property market across the country before we finish up. That when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. All right, I don't have quite enough time. I don't want to rush this. The Redfin CEO guy was good on the country's real estate market, so we'll keep that in the can for tomorrow. Speaking of tomorrow, Liz Collin will join us on the program. We're going to ask her about her thoughts on some of these rumors about Tim Walz and what his political future might hold. And I told her, Liz, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to ask you, do you want to get in the running for governor or maybe U.S. senator? A lot of us think that would be awesome. So we'll ask Liz about that tomorrow. I'm sure she'll have some things to say about the rally, too, about girls' sports and that legislation at the Capitol in St. Paul as well. So lots to do tomorrow here on the show. From the text line, Steve, the Doge dividend is not inflationary. It's not new money like the Federal Reserve printing money. This money is already in circulation, so it's not inflationary. Okay, I see where you're going with that. I would say that the money from Congress has been earmarked but not spent. That's why they're saying that they're kind of returning that money to the federal government. And so the money hasn't technically been spent if you're canceling these contracts. So maybe I'm getting too fussy about it. But I like where you're thinking that I do believe that in the end this won't be inflationary. It's different when it's a rebate of tax money to the people when you're saving money there. But thank you for that. Boy, that show flew past today. Thanks for being with me, my friend. Have a great night. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 on the show. Have a great night and keep on flying that flag.